Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. You want to check us out on TV. Brought to you, as always, by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. It's Bishcake, CB, and JP. That's the foursome. And joining us right now is Michael Lombardi, Radio.com Sports NFL Insider. You can listen to him on his podcast, The GM Shuffle, which is available on Radio.com or wherever you get your podcasts. He's also the author of Gridiron Genius, Masterclass in Winning Championships and Building Dynasties in the NFL. Got the paperback. Forward by Bill Belichick.
I listen to him on VEASAN, too, all the time. Picks fatties.
Very good.
Likes to pick winners.
I love to pick fatties.
I love that.
What's up, Michael?
Hey, man. How are you? Yeah, you know, I'm the only guy who doesn't bet, but my track record's been pretty good lately. Of course, in the NFL, I think there's so many bad teams, it's easy to do it, you know? So, anyway, that's fun. I love doing it. It's, you know, I think betting has come out of the closet in terms of, you know, that there was the old image of mush, you know, in the back room. You know, I think it's business analytics is really what it is. It's the number. It's how it's money's moving. It's really more a financial market than it is a, you know, a betting market. Now, there's some people that are just stupid enough to bet Mitchell Trubisky for the MVP. you can't cure that, right?
Stupid.
Well, and also there are people who are betting futures on the Dolphins to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, exactly. I think this is a really bold trade, but this is a trade that's out of character for Pittsburgh. I mean, this is out of character trade for Pittsburgh because, you know, there's a perception in Miami that Fitzpatrick was really not what everybody thinks he is, mm-hmm. you know, and they thought he was just another guy and they had no problem trading him for. And then Pittsburgh, who loses Big Ben and then the same day trades their one, a huge asset, which could be a top 10 pick. I mean, what teams lose their quarterback that don't end up in the top 10?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
Michael,
true.
Do you like Miami's approach? They're full on tanking. I mean, they're just amassing draft capital for 2021, 2022.
I do. I love it. I think it's the right look. Here's the thing: we people hope their team wins. Most teams never plan to win, and don't ever confuse hope for a plan. They actually have a plan. Now the team in DC has no plan. They're hoping they hit with a quarterback. They're hoping they hit with a coach. They're hoping. There's never been a plan under Dan Snyder's reign there. In fact, I wrote a column on Friday in The Athletic about it, about how, you know, look, I grew up, I must confess, a diehard Redskin fan. When Vince Lombardi came to the Redskins in 69, I'm not related. I said, you know, he joined the team. He became the president. Edward Bennett Williams hired him. And I was a Redskin fan. I grew up in a little beach town called Ocean City, New Jersey, so I was a skin fan. And then I stayed a skin fan, even though he died in 1970. And I went through the Bill Austin 1 year, and then George Allen came in to take the team over in 71. So until I got employed by the 49ers in 1984, I was a Redskin fan, diehard. Loved RFK Stadium. I love RFK. You know, when I was in the fifth grade, I had to write a project on a non-president. The only one I could think of was RFK because – that's where the Redskins played. And so I have had a lifelong passion. But this team, unfortunately, has been, since Dan bought the team, has been disappointing.
Yep. Joined by Michael Lombardi, Radio.com Sports NFL Insider. Insider calls brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. You write about this in your book, Gridiron Genius, the importance of ownership. Kind of get into that. And where do you think the missteps have been by Daniel Snyder over the years?
Well, he doesn't understand that culture and player development win. I mean, he just has no idea that culture matters. He thinks if I sign Albert Haynesworth, I draft Dwayne Haskins. He thinks it's always about a move. He thinks it's watching TV on Saturday night, watching a college game. If I get that player, I'll be a better team. That is the most critical error you could ever make. As an owner, the owner's job is to establish the culture, is to say to the head coach, look, here's the kind of football team I want to have. And it's your job to make me get there. And in 5 years, if we're not there, I'm going to have to make a change. But the culture's never changing. The culture's never changing. I mean, look, when Robert Kraft hired Belichick in 1999, everybody in the league laughed at him. He gave up a draft pick for him. And Kraft allowed Belichick to establish the culture. It's now called the Patriot Way. When we were together in Cleveland, and I write about it in Gridiron Genius, you know, Modell was anti the Brown way. I used to say to him all the time, Art, that the program won't allow it. And he would say, what program are you talking about? I own this team. And he would never grasp it. So, you know, Snyder's never going to grasp it. He thinks if I hire Steve Spurrier, or if I bring Joe Gibbs back, or if I do this or do that, you know. And what he needs to do is stop having the front office control everything. I mean, Bruce Allen was never in the draft room in Oakland. Mm-hmm. He never had any involvement in player personnel in Oakland his whole time there. He's not, you know, he was a player agent who was working on contracts. Now he's running your entire organization. I mean, that's really, look at the record. It's reflective.
Did you get along with Bruce when you were both in Oakland together, right?
We were both there. Yeah, sure. I mean, you know, he was the cap guy and I was the personnel guy. I mean, I was, you know, I would listen to what Al wanted to do. I would tell Al, here's what we need to do. And he would tell Bruce to go sign this player or sign that player.
But did you get along with him?
Yeah, I mean, it was a working relationship. You know, Bruce is, you guys know Bruce. Bruce is not exactly, you know, Bruce is wonderful to when you're face-to-face, but you only know what happens after that.
What were his responsibilities?
We kind of know that.
What were his responsibilities in Tampa?
Well, in Tampa, he worked for Gruden. I mean, Gruden was Gruden ran the team down there. Gruden got him to go to Tampa, you know, and Gruden became the power broker in Tampa once Rich McKay left. So he brought him in there. And then Bruce has got a great ability to, you know, he's very political. He has great ability to schmooze. And you know, obviously, you know, he made it out like he was running everything. But Gruden was calling all the shots in Tampa. And then, you know, when he gets to Washington, I mean, it's under the, you know, he and Mike Shanahan worked together to get that job. They spent time in Denver talking. And then when he gets in there, you know, Bruce sides with the owner and poor Mike's left on an island.
Right. Where would you rank him in terms of competency amongst NFL GMs?
Well, I mean, look, you know, this is the real issue here is because he's running the program. You know, the GM can't control the team. I mean, I lived with Al Davis for 10 years, and he owned the team, and you can't control the team. The head coach has to be the most important person in the organization, and he's got to be able to control what he tells the players. And so, you know, what Bruce does, I mean, look at his record. I mean, there's been no general manager that's been in his job as long as Bruce has that has that below a .500 winning percentage. Right. I mean, there just hasn't been.
Right. So, if Michael Lombardi is running the show, what would you do? Would you approach this season like the Dolphins are doing? Because the Redskins are in kind of this odd position.
Oh, they think
where
they're good.
They always sort of 7-9.
Well, they're delusional.
8-8, 7-9, 7-9. They're stuck.
That's because they don't have a culture. They have no culture. Why do you think they have trouble in the training room? They have no culture. You think any player believes what the front office tells them? Mm-hmm. Do you really think that any player believes it? Of course they don't. So if I were there, you know, I would tell Dan, look, we need to rebuild this organization from top to bottom. You know, we need to get this thing back to where we develop a culture. It's culture first. You know, I feel bad for Jay Gruden. Jay Gruden's trying to get fired. I mean, Jay Gruden probably, with the day they come in and tell Jay Gruden he can't coach a team anymore, he may be running around the parking lot like George Costanza.
Oh, I mean, you know, party. We've been saying that for a few years.
I mean, at least Jay understands it's incompetent. You can see in Jay's voice, and I mean, you could hear it in his voice. He knows that it's not going to work. So he's really content with it. I think that, look, the only way this is going to change in Washington, and I wrote about it in The Athletic, is they have to find a way. It can't happen during the season, but Dan's got to say, okay, go hire me a guy that can build a culture.
But the problem is, Michael, we see this before, that Bruce Allen is so powerful in that front office that he runs off guys like Scott McLuhan. Until Dan Snyder can quit Bruce Allen, I think the culture is going to remain exactly the same.
Oh, you're completely right. I'm talking about, you know, Bruce has got to go.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it's like they said in when they were talking about Vito in The Sopranos, he's got to go, right? You know, like he's got to go. I mean, nobody's coming to work for Bruce. You think any coach of sub, you think just let's say Josh McDaniels is the hot coach this offseason. Right? You think Josh McDaniels walking in to work for Bruce Allen?
No. They couldn't even get a D coordinator in here.
Of course they can't. Yeah. Of course they can't. I mean, right. You think this is a secret? You think what people are saying?
No,
you know, Lombardi,
not.
you're brutally honest. I'm not. I'm just telling what people that work in the industry know what's going on.
Well, yeah. what is Dan's issue? Because what's so interesting about Dan is he's been in the market for, I don't know, 20 years now.
You never hear from
nobody
him.
Knows him. He won't make himself available.
You like, literally
I,
never hear
I
from him.
I honestly don't know. Is he a stupid human? Does he have like a social disorder? I mean, what is it?
I think he, and I wrote about this in The Athletic, yeah. I think he's extremely loyal to ex-Redskin people.
Yeah,
I think
that's
he
true.
Loves, you know, I started the column off
it's
by
true.
Saying both he and I share the same common love for the Skins.
Right.
And so if you have any part, I mean, I wrote the whole column and never mentioned Bruce's name in the column intentionally because it's really not about him. Really, Bruce is just the result of Dan's inability to understand and be honest with himself. And what
so
Dan
is he
needs
stupid?
To do, I mean, if you know, the definition of stupidity is doing the same thing over and over
so
again.
Stupid.
And I guess you would say, I mean, look, I mean, at some point, I don't think he intentionally wants to lose, but I think he wants to win his way. I think that's the problem. And he's never going to win his way. It's just never going to happen. He can win 4, 5, 6, 7 games, but he's never going to win his way. And there's a reason the season ticket base is so low. There's a reason he doesn't have a new stadium. It's one of the greatest franchises in sports. It is truly one of the greatest franchises in sports. And I say that with understanding them since the time I was 10 years old. I mean, I've followed this team, you know, the uniform, the helmet, the whole thing. It's a shame what's happened to them. But here's what I think, if I can explain Dan to you the best. There's an old saying in Washington that says, we've never dedicated a monument to a committee. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then that's where the Redskins pretend they have this committee mentality. And then that committee mentality allows the Redskins and the front office and Dan to use another powerful line in Washington, which is plausible deniability, right? And so they have this committee, the Doug Williams, the head coach, the all these people that are supposed to be involved in decision making, and then they have plausible deniability for the two people who ultimately make all the decisions.
Yeah,
right.
We're talking to Michael Lombardi, Radio.com, Sports NFL Insider. He's got a podcast, The GM Shuffle. He's also the author of Gridiron Genius, a masterclass in winning championships and building dynasties in the NFL.
Which they've never read in Washington. I promise you, they've never read in Washington.
Well, here's another question for you. We've seen what they've done in the first couple games. They're giving up a boatload of points. They can't run the ball. They got a backup quarterback starting, but they do have Haskins. Do you think they should just say, all right, screw it, we drafted the guy at 15, let's put him in there and see what he has? Or should he sit for a year and kind of watch and let the game kind of slow down a little bit? What do you think should happen there, quarterback?
Here's a perfect example of why Dan and Bruce don't understand football. Jay Gruden can't stand in front of his team and say, Dwayne Haskins gives us the best chance to win.
Right.
And if you can't do that, you lose complete credibility with the team.
Right.
And so, you know, if they put Dwayne Haskins in there, it will go from bad to real bad. Because, you know, the preseason's one thing, which he struggled in the preseason. The real bullets start flying when all of a sudden the game moves 20% faster. Third down becomes way more complicated. The defensive coordinators start to attack you in different ways. And if you don't change the protection, reroute the mic, put things into place, start to do this, and it all has to happen within 15 seconds, right? Watch Brady at the line of scrimmage. 52 is the mic. No, 53. No, make 23 is the mic. All of a sudden, he's moving people around in 15 seconds, and that allows him to have time to throw the ball. This is not going to happen with Haskins. And so if they put him in the game, it's over. Mm-hmm. They have no system of player development. This is so critical. You draft a quarterback. If you have a quarterback you pick in the first round, you have to have a backup offensive line that's really good. Because if you don't, you can't play him in the preseason because he's going to be running around for his life.
Yeah. They don't even have a starting lineup or offensive line.
Which
really
is
good.
True. Which is true.
How do you handle the Trent Williams situation? How do you evaluate how they've handled it?
It's a lack of trust. I mean, as Billy mm-hmm. Joel once said, it's a matter of trust here. I mean, it's just truly a case of lacking trust. I mean, he doesn't trust them, right? And so how do you handle that? You think if Bruce Allen showed up at his home and said, let's have a talk, do you think he's going to believe one thing Bruce is telling him?
Mm-hmm. That's why he hadn't even bothered, I suppose.
Well, I think that's the change. And I think he would rather sit out, rest his body, get healthy, you know, and feel like, okay, next year I'll come in and play. I can't make up the money I've lost, but, you know, I'd rather maybe I'll add another year than I wouldn't have had if I come in and play. think that's the mentality.
You know, Michael, you talk about culture, and in your book, Gridiron Genius, you obviously have a foreword by Bill Belichick, and you worked with him. How does this Antonio Brown thing work out within the culture of the New England Patriots, and how do you see it playing out? I mean, there was a big story yesterday, I guess, which had, you know, different allegations, sexual allegations. I mean, he seems to be a nut job.
Right. No, and look, I think here's the reality of it is, and look, I've been very critical of Antonio Brown's behavior in Oakland, and just because my friend Bill signed him doesn't mean that I absolve everything he said. But the one difference between most teams in the NFL is when he walks into that building, you know, he no longer has his – he's joined the Navy SEALs program. You haven't heard a word from Antonio Brown since he's been a Patriot, have you? You think that's – you think that's and by accident? You think that's by accident? That, you know, there's a sign when you walk into the Patriots building. There's no trophies. There's no picture of Belichick holding the trophy or Brady throwing a pass. There's none of that. There's one sign. The sign says, do your job. It also says, speak for yourself. Be attentive and always put the team first. That's it. Those four qualities is the core culture of the building. And if you can adhere to those. Now, Antonio Brown's not walking in there and telling Brady what to do. He's not coming back to the huddle and say, Tom, throw me the damn ball. Not doing it. Right? Not doing it. You know, he's not going to walk into a team meeting and film it because Devin McCourty is going to be sitting in the same meeting and say, bro, we don't do that. That's not what we do here. And he's going to take the camera from him.
Right.
So they have their own way that they do it. This has been over time. This is what great leadership brings. This is what great companies have. They have the ability to police themselves and handle themselves. And that's why when he goes there, it'll work. Now, when they signed Josh Gordon, and I had Josh Gordon with me in Cleveland, we had no culture in Cleveland whatsoever because we were a bunch of subcontractors running an organization. I told them, I believed, and I wrote about it for The Athletic, that the volume was going to get Josh Gordon. It did. Now, he comes back this year. He seems like a completely different human being, and I pray that he stays this way. But one thing about that program up there is you have to be able to fit in the program. Albert Haynesworth came in there. He couldn't fit in the program. He gave up a draft pick for him. He sent him out midseason. That's why you know that it's either going to work or it's not. He has no problem. Look, he traded a sixth-round pick for Russell Bodine, and he cut Bodine a week later. You think he really cares about what the media thinks about him, what he thinks of a trade? He's going to do what's right for the team. And that message is more powerful for him than it is trying to hide a mistake.
Would you work for Dan if he offered you a job?
Would I work? I don't even know Dan. I mean, look, I don't have no. I've said hello to Dan, and that's about it. I mean, the only chance anybody has to work for the Washington Redskins if Dan says, "You go out and hire the next head coach, and you make sure you build the culture, and I'll see you in 5 years." I mean, that's really the only chance you have.
Yeah.
You know, and there's just no way. And to me, you got to rebuild his organization. You got to say to him, look, if you got to just make a decision. Do you want to enjoy winning Super Bowls or do you want to enjoy winning your way? You know, do you want to be mediocre or do you want to win titles? And the only way we're going to have to win titles is to tear it down. Now, I will say this. You're a lot closer to winning titles if you get the right coach and the right culture in there because there's some good players on that football team. Mm-hmm. But they're not in condition. They're not in great shape. They don't work very hard. Jay Gruden was 1-4 in games over 81 degrees, right? And that game last year in Tampa, seriously, we laugh. I mean, it's conditioning. I mean, the Patriots went down to Miami, and people were telling me the Patriots were in better shape than the Dolphins and dealing in the humidity. Patriots run hills every single day. It's so powerful to watch that after practice in October, Belichick doesn't even have to tell the team to go to the hill. They run to the hill themselves.
Right.
It's unbelievable.
It's crazy.
So, you know, unless you're willing to do that, there was a sign in RFK Stadium, and I wrote this in the column. It said, SOS, save our skins, hire Lombardi. Vince Lombardi back in 69, and Edward Bennett Williams listened to the sign. If I were Dan Snyder, I would get on an airplane. I'd fly to Clemson, South Carolina, uh-huh. And I would tell Dabo Sweeney, look, my man, you need to come in here and you need to fix my team.
Because he's the culture guy.
He's going to create the culture you got to have.
Right.
All right, Michael, create... great stuff.
Yeah, thank you.
The
I can talk to you forever.
Gridiron
thank you,
Genius.
Pat.
Come on the show whenever you want,
it's
bro.
It's a master class.
Anytime you want me, just call.
All right, we will.
Master class in winning
remember,
championships.
Remember, I'm a Skins fan.
I know.
And he's also,
you've established that.
Also a Radio.com Sports Insider brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. Check out his book, Gridiron Genius.
Thank you, Michael.
Junkies.
Thanks,
right
guys.
See you, man.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. Just got through talking to Michael Lombardi, who worked in the NFL for Bill Walsh, Al Davis, Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He knows what he's talking about, and it's nothing that he gave us that we didn't know. None of us here are going to die on a mountain lobbying for Dan Snyder, lobbying for Bruce Allen.
No, of course
Nobody's going to do it, but it's interesting to hear the take of somebody who's worked alongside Bruce Allen and who's been on the inside of the NFL and talk about how important culture is, and they just don't have it here. And I'm wondering if it makes Redskins fans hearing that just feel hopeless.
Well, you have to be depressed.
Or you're already
about
there.
I think you're there, but it certainly doesn't give you any optimism going forward as long as Bruce Allen still presides over the entire organization.
Then nothing's changed.
As long as he's there.
I don't think anybody truly believes that they can be successful
the problem
as
is
they're currently constructed.
They do bring in strong culture guys like Shanahan, but then it seems to be undermined
halfway through. Yeah.
Well, not only blow him out, but like, I'm not even sure Shanahan wanted to draft RG3. But if the owner is intent, hell-bent on it, that changes the whole direction of your tenure. Joe Gibbs is the one guy who I think he seemed to have a somewhat hands-off. He was so sort of reverential towards him.
And that goes to
Joe's culture, and that's why it was somewhat successful. But
that goes to what Lombardi was saying, that because Gibbs obviously was with the Redskins before, that is Snyder's default, is to all the ex-Redskins that he grew up rooting for.
But there is a committee approach. He hit on something, and I remember before the season when we were speculating, well, will Haskins be able to start by week one or whatever? Doug Williams, who often puts his foot in his mouth, said something to the effect of, oh, it's not Jay's decision.
Right. And again,
it's going to be Jay's and mine and Dan's and Bruce. And he threw in like five people were going to decide on who the quarterback was.
And again,
was.
Haskins was
can't win that way.
Tabbed by the owner.
Yeah.
Do you know what Bill Belichick would do if Robert Kraft walked in and said, I think you should pick this quarterback? He would laugh at him. He would say, that is my call.
Well,
that
Kraft
is not
would never
your
do
call.
That. Kraft would never do
that. Yeah, because he knows that he's got a strong guy running his building.
He made an interesting point, though. He said, look, if you play Haskins, you're going to lose the football team.
Right.
Because Haskins is not ready. That's what he thinks. A lot of people think that. Now, you guys might think differently. You think he should probably jump in there right away because you drafted him high. You got to see what he has.
It's not that different than the running back situation. He didn't really want to deal with AP. He didn't want to draft Dwayne Haskins. He keeps getting handcuffed with all these sort of decisions. He didn't want him.
Yep.
Didn't want him.
It was interesting that he said you really need the coach to run the whole show.
Yeah.
The GM sounds almost complimentary, not more important than the head coach.
Well, people criticized John Gruden for being in charge, but Lombardi makes it sound like that's how it
he
has
to be.
He supports
that model. That's the model that's
clearly works for John.
Yeah. And that's kind of the model.
Now, they made a mess of the Antonio Brown situation with all that.
Yeah.
But maybe that would have happened regardless.
If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. I thought he was excellent. But let's open up the entertainment page, such as the Hollywood and the music scene. And weave in some calls if we want to. But didn't hit on the EP yesterday.
We would never interrupt the Blitz. But the EP, it's interrupted all the time.
Oh,
you know
that's
true?
Blitz all the time.
Blitz 7:40 every time.
Blitz has to be there.
Blitz is always there.
Appointment.
It does. You know why? More entertaining.
Oh, look at that. It cuts right to the core.
Because it's JP's baby.
By the way,
that's the reason.
You interrupt the Blitz all the time.
Well, for good reason. All right,
sure, the NFL isn't popular.
So you'd rather talk about Kylie Jenner than injuries to starting quarterbacks?
I'd rather talk about almost anything than any other NFL team.
Oh.
I don't really care about the Bills. I don't care about the Steelers. I don't care about any other team. I care about one team.
Right.
This one right
here.
You
have no love for Devin Singletary whatsoever.
Nope. I mean, I think we give you enough skins talk during a 4-hour show.
I don't think he knows what team he's on.
No.
Probably doesn't.
I don't follow that. I don't care.
So
there's one
back
team that matters to me. One team. And I think I speak for most of the audience.
I disagree with that based on the TV ratings. Did you see how low
TV
they were?
TV ratings cratering for
even
the Redskins.
Even in D.C.
Bad.
Local D.C. ratings, there was a city that had a random game, like the Bengals game.
Bengals-Niners game.
Right.
Yeah.
That was higher than the Redskins-Cowboys.
It's called fan apathy. It is taking over D.C.
Kex, Netflix may have lost The Office and Friends, but they secured a major property to help make up for it. They just acquired Seinfeld in a five-year deal. You ready?
Five years for Netflix. Seinfeld.
Seinfeld, by the way, old episodes that everyone's seen 100 times.
$750
million. $500
million. Holy crap. Oh, my God. Larry David.
$100 million a year.
I guess they know what they're doing.
Oh, my God. Larry David and Jerry Seinfeld.
I would never watch
it. It's just Monopoly money.
I'm sorry. I would never watch a rerun of Seinfeld. It was great at its peak when I was 22.
I'm with you.
I will watch it.
I'll never watch it
from time to time.
There's always something more current
and better. $500 million.
I won't seek it out. I won't sit down and be like, man, I need to see a Seinfeld episode.
No, for the rest of my life, I'll never watch another episode of Seinfeld ever. It'll never happen.
Apparently, a lot of people will.
Not even 1 minute. I'll be like, well, that's 20 years old.
Because Friends and The Office are two of the most popular shows on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
So people, I mean.
And they're leaving after this year.
Yeah, I would watch Seinfeld on command. My entire life, I've had to catch it on TBS at like 6.
Really?
Why do you care?
I've seen every episode.
I'm a mark.
I get sized for my favorites.
You're a grown-ass man. Don't you want to? I'd rather watch the news.
He likes to laugh.
Yeah.
If you want to laugh.
I like
and then, yeah, and then each episode is going to be 20 minutes long. You'll burn through them like crazy.
Mm. Oh, I wouldn't do it. If I'm bored and I see it there, of course I'll kill 20 minutes.
I'd rather watch something on the Do It Yourself Network. I'd rather watch some guy build a lawnmower.
What do you mean?
I'd rather watch True Crime Live.
Yeah.
Speaking of wasting
any
your time.
Any Seinfeld episode. Yeah.
What do you do yourself?
I get pleasure out of watching them do it.
Okay.
So that's pretty silly. I wish I could do that.
The answer is nothing.
The same thing you get out of watching on Seinfeld episode you've seen 67 times already.
No, because he laughs. Do you laugh watching Do It Yourself?
No, but he's entertained.
I learned.
You learned that other people are silly doing
laughing
stuff.
Laughing is good for the soul.
I laugh all the time.
Dude, I was
except when you talk.
So. You do.
We laugh for 4 hours, six to ten.
I laugh plenty.
I don't need to laugh when I go home.
I was in a doctor's office yesterday, sitting directly underneath a TV that had like something from HGTVs, something terrible. I couldn't see it.
You were bored?
It was tilting me. I wanted to take the TV and smash it into a billion pieces.
Yeah. You know you have why?
It was just annoying, just talking about upgrading a bathroom and going out and getting a new fixture. I was just like, this is the worst thing I've ever heard.
You make a great point about watching this stuff over and over and over again, because I don't know how listeners can listen to tipping on carryout dilemma stories.
It's always a dilemma. I mean, like $3. I'm sorry, if I spend 30, you might get 2 or 3. I'm not giving you 15 or 20% on a carryout order.
What if you get a poke bowl and then they print out the receipt and then or it's on the iPad and they flip the iPad around and it says 5%, 10%, 20% or no tip. What do you hit?
I usually give them like 10%.
I give no tip.
I'm a weak
just
person.
Just because they gave me a little endomame and some rice in my poke bowl?
I just usually give them 10%. I'm a sucker. I'm a stupid sucker.
Eric, we're all different. We all like different things. But
I know.
If we went around the room and we listed 3 or 4 shows that we watched,
I don't get it.
The other three guys or six guys would go,
I can't believe you watched. Of course, everyone's different.
And I'm sure Netflix knows what they're doing.
Oh, of course they do.
Of course, there's also the market.
They know they're going to make money off
it. There's the market for people who haven't watched it. Like, you used to talk about how your son watched The Office. He wasn't watching The Office originally when it was on. He was watching repeats.
Yeah, it's trendy.
It's just like, I don't understand why people can listen to Meek Mill.
I don't either.
I just don't get it.
Can you crank up that song again about East from yesterday?
I know he's popular.
Just for 10 seconds?
It's just like anything else. You don't hear it, though. You're not exposed to it. If you're exposed to it every day or often with your kids, I think eventually it just wears on you.
Oh,
you just get used to it.
I don't think I would ever get used to it.
Well, you don't hear it. That's because you don't hear it.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Well, I'll be honest.
I choose not to hear it.
When I'm in the car with my daughters, right, my younger daughter has her learner, so she can drive, but I have to be in the car.
Yeah.
She plays all that stuff off her phone, and I don't know if she plays Meek Mill, but she plays a lot of bad music.
A lot of mumble rap.
And I'm just like, oh, my God.
So she put the heat on.
And I hook her up. I just say, all right, you can listen to whatever you want.
Yeah.
Right.
I'd rather listen to, you know, something else. But she will play all that nonsense, and I just cringe. I do. I cringe because I can't wait to get home because it's terrible. Because
it hurts your ears.
I just get used
to it. Your eardrums are ringing.
And I actually have a bunch of songs I like.
So I can't understand why people like Dum Dum over here would watch reruns of Seinfeld that were 27 years old.
He brings up a good point. My son watched The Office probably every episode 10 times.
Yeah.
Loved it. But it was like a generation, like all his buddies and friends were going through it for the first time.
He loves Michael Scott so much.
I watched an episode of The Office. I think it's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. I laugh not at all. I think it's so dumb.
I liked it when
I don't get it.
I want to know what is funny to Eric.
He says he likes to laugh. He has often said on the show, I don't like comedies.
No. He likes brother comedies.
I like white people.
Yeah, but it's
white
not like,
people.
It's not
I don't
like,
find white
it's not like you go
funny.
Out and see Barbershop. Have you seen Barbershop or any of those movies? Do you go see Medea?
I don't see everything, no. But
like Coming to America?
I don't like white people that much.
I'm like you. I don't think I watch anything that makes me laugh, ever. I don't like to go to comedy, movies.
It's all forced, fake stuff.
I don't watch comedy shows.
I like to go to the improv.
But didn't you watch The Office?
I did. But I'm like Eric. I mean,
I don't have a current one.
I wasn't laughing at every scene. Ellen's not that funny.
It's a weird thing he likes.
Not that funny.
But it's like light fare to kind of.
Yeah, and again, I wouldn't choose to watch it. My wife likes to. I know you think
so
I
you're
do.
Exposed to it. It's like me with.
My wife loves that show.
So it's on all the time, so you got it used to it. It's the same thing as music, I think.
Yeah. I mean, they have some funny bits where they show videos, like from people's cell phones that
Here's
make you
what's
laugh.
Viral.
But an hour of that, I'm just not going to laugh.
EB's not into Dwight Schrute at all.
Yeah.
Thinks
nope.
He's not funny whatsoever.
I'll tell you what it
I
is.
Watch clips of The Office.
I'll tell you what it is
it.
With for me. I'm getting depressed.
Oh, yeah.
100%, I'm getting depressed.
Yeah. Are you still texting your daughter like 20 times a day?
Every single day. I've already texted her. It's 8:39. I've already texted her twice this morning.
Thing.
She just got up probably 10 minutes ago.
Did you text her Justin Fuentes poo-poo?
Should have beaten
up on
that. She knows that.
Furman.
She left at halftime last week.
Oh, she did?
Well, it's 14-3. They're losing.
Yeah.
And I told her that they came back and they took the lead. She goes, VT sucks.
Does
I was
she
like, all right, but you got to have some school spirit.
Right.
Has she ever said to you, Dad, you got to let me breathe a little bit. You got to
no,
let me.
She likes it. She likes it.
She likes the interaction. Well,
yeah.
You're lucky.
No, she loves her dad.
She loves her pops.
That's nice.
Let me ask you this. This is a question.
I'm going down there for parents' weekend this weekend, and the original hotel, there was no hotels available.
Mm-hmm.
The original hotel I was going to stay at, I found off of hotels.com. It's called the Red Carpet Inn.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds poop.
Then anytime you go into a hotel, you enter the room from the outside, you know it's poop.
Oh, hurt.
Oh, it's like a motel.
You're at a motel.
Correct.
It's a motel.
Correct.
That's like where you find like Belushi or something.
It was the only hotel within 25 miles of the campus that was open.
Mo
right?
from Largo
and
Hotel.
It was $9 a night.
Oh, man.
Yeah, but you get red carpet treatment.
Hold on. So I booked it, right? And, they show photos and everything. It's just awful.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to stay in Roanoke.
How far is Roanoke from Blacksburg?
I mean, 40 minutes, probably 30. I don't know. It's 25, 30 miles.
I would
miles.
Stay further away to stay in a
You're
nice
staying
place.
In well, a Nubs
You're staying in a crack
so my, wife and, so my wife and I talked about it, and I didn't want to stay at the red carpet. She goes, she actually contemplated sleeping in the truck.
Yeah.
I said, I can't do that. Let's just, maybe it'll be okay. Anyway, so she convinced me yesterday to go back on the hotels.com. And I was calling hotels all over campus to see if there was any reservations that
Sounds
were canceled.
Sounds like a fun afternoon.
Oh, it was terrible. So I went back and I got Homewood.
Yeah.
Homewood Suites, which is in Christiansburg,
very good.
I don't know, 7-8 miles from Blacksburg. But it's nice. You go in, nice lobby. There's a bar, restaurant. It was $329 a night. So I went from $99 a night to $329 a night.
Yeah, but you know what?
Because my wife
it's worth
didn't
it.
Want
to. It's worth it.
I mean, it's Sometimes $750 bucks.
It's worth it. You want to stay at a crack motel and worry about it.
I've been renting hotels. I'll be renting hotels for four of the next 5 weeks, and it's minimum like $180.
Well, you're not going to stay at a place called the Red Carpet Inn.
No.
I guarantee it.
The lowest we stoop to is Hampton Inn.
Better get some extra
Hampton
appearances.
Inns are nice.
Hampton Inn. I think suites. It's a Hilton property. Now.
Yeah, those are nice.
All right, got to take
breakfast.
A break. Remember, Redskins insider Chris Russell is going to join us coming up at 9 o'clock.
Then one the story.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.
Knowledge, no.
Really?
On the scale of 1 to 10, how big of an announcement is it?
1 to 10? I'd say it's about a 9.
Really?
It's pretty big.
So, like, a 10 would be retirement, you're moving.
Yeah, or, like, I have a terminal disease or something.
Is it a good or bad announcement?
It's good.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's good.
Does it involve money?
Must.
Indirectly, yes. Somewhat.
Your wife got promoted.
I'm not going to tell you. You have to tune in at
9:20.
It's probably poker related.
Tune in at 9:20.
Good job, Gakes.
Silly tease.
Silly tease.
That's a silly radio tease right there.
I'm not trying to ruin it. I just want to cut to the chase.
I just want to figure it out.
Spy report. Yeah. Radio.
I'd rather do it now than.
Yeah, we have to wait.
Yeah, what else are we can talk about in the next 10 minutes?
I mean, we could do it at the end of the segment if you want. It doesn't matter. 9:20?
9:20. Spent listening.
TSL, baby. It's very big.
All right, I know nobody watches.
Well, I have one at 9:40. I mean,
okay. Well, I hope
you
because
you don't have to deliver. Just say you got one.
I've got one. I've got a big one. There. 1 to 10, it's a 12.
You just re-raised.
Stay
me.
Tuned.
By the way, re-raised my bit.
Forgot to do the box office report. I can never do that, Cakes.
What awful movies are people?
Do
watch?
You know what the top movie was at the box office?
No,
it's a good question.
It wasn't Hustlers. It was the other one.
Hustlers was second. It Chapter 2.
I saw the first one. The first one sucked.
It did $39 million. Hustlers did $33 million. I got kind of a notion to see that. Although I don't know why.
The wife. It's a good date movie, but both of us.
Did it get you all sized?
She loves J-Lo. Yeah. She went to the J-Lo concert here with 5 girlfriends a few months ago.
That sounds like a terrible evening.
It was a 3 out of 5 for me. And Kevin gave it a 4 out of 5. Kevin, when he did the 3 movies last week, that was his favorite. He liked it more than it. I can't even remember.
I'm not sure if I would rather.
He liked it better than Goldfinch.
Would I rather go see Hustlers in the theater or do the bit like the guy in Zero Dark 30 and get stuffed into the box while he's getting interrogated in like a 120-degree room? I guess I'd rather go see J-Lo and Cardi B in a movie together.
Cardi B's barely in it.
But it's close. It's a photo finish.
Why that much hate?
There's just nothing about that movie that would ever inspire me to walk into a movie and sit down and pay my money.
What about the titillating aspect of it? There's nothing titillating about it.
I'm like you. I need way more than that to be.
But you saw Wolf of Wall Street,
you should see what I watch.
You saw Wolf of Wall Street, right?
Bits and pieces.
I'd say it's kind of almost like a Wolf of Wall Street
spin-off. Wolf of Wall Street pretty good, though.
It's really good.
But you only gave it 3.
Yeah, it was mediocre.
Yeah. Angel Has Fallen.
You believe there's another Rambo?
Rambo Last Blood. He's like 70.
By the way, have you seen the new movie that's coming out with Will Smith? It's called Gemini Life.
I've seen ads for it. It looks terrible.
It looks god awful.
What's that one about? I think I've seen the preview. What's it about again?
I don't know. Will Smith has a twin brother. I don't know.
I think they're just fighting each other. I think it's like a clone of him.
It's a clone. Yeah.
Clones.
He looks like a twin brother to me.
Yeah. His younger self.
It looks awful.
Have you seen the Brad Pitt trailer?
Ad Astra.
That looks good.
I mean, it's Brad Pitt in space. It's all I know.
Looks good.
Right? Did anybody here see Angel Has Fallen? It's out
for four weeks.
It's got to be out of the theater soon. Only did $4 million, but so far it's made $60 million. Cakes, not bad. Good Boys did $4 million. So far it's made $73 million. And rounding out the top 5, The Lion King. Ugh, can't believe people see that.
Might be time soon for a new episode of the Yes No Men Valdez, and to give people some updates on what we've decided on in the past. Let's see how Joker does in a few weeks. I think it's going to be a smash-ola.
Of course it is.
I mean, there's just so much buzz on it.
Did anybody watch Dancing with the Stars last night?
Axe me.
No.
Was Lamar Odom terrible?
Yeah, he was one of the worst.
Along with Spicer.
This room does not agree on much, but I think we're all in agreement.
Can't watch that.
That is a terrible problem.
What time is that on? 8?
I don't know.
How can you watch that in D.C. when you got the Nats playing the Cardinals and you got Monday Night Football?
I will say they got me early on when they started having the NFL guys. So like when they had Emmett on, I think I watched it. When they had like Jerry Rice.
And Donald Driver, you actually cared?
Didn't watch Donald Driver. I'm telling you, let me get this straight. NFL guys.
You don't care about any other team in the NFL outside of the Redskins, but you care to watch Emmett Smith dance?
There was something intriguing about that.
I don't understand you.
Yeah. There was something intriguing.
Exactly. That's what it is. We don't understand each other.
We don't understand. After all these years working together, being friends, we don't understand each other.
All right, so Saturday Night Live hired this comedian, Shane Gillies. I don't know how you say his name.
Right.
And but 4 days after hiring, they had to fire him because they
Shane
the internet, of course, uncovered clips of him. He was making a bunch of like Chinese jokes or something.
He's doing racist
jokes. He's a comedian.
Yeah.
He was on a podcast and he was going pretty hard.
Was he?
Yeah.
He went pretty hard and they're very un-PC. And so they fired him. I thought he had a funny line.
I'm laughing now.
Yes.
He said
racial humor's funny. I'm sorry. Get over it, people.
He said he understands it was too much of a distraction. He respects their decision. But then he said, I was always a mad TV guy anyway. I thought it was a good line on the way out.
Nobody in this room has watched Mad TV.
So he was one of the guys that was, he had never
actually appeared on the show.
He
just hired him.
He was a new guy.
He didn't audition. He was set to.
He made the announcement. Immediately, the world Googles him. And there are videos of him everywhere.
Did you see the James Corden rebuttal of.
Oh, the fat shaming?
Of Bill Maher when he was talking about fat shaming?
Yeah.
It's pretty interesting.
Yeah. I think the McCain daughter, she was pissed off about all that too.
Oh, she
because
was.
Bill Maher fat shamed her like 10 years ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Pretty funny.
I don't know how I feel about fat shaming. My son is a proponent of it. He fat shamed his friend.
Really?
Yeah, he said he made him lose 40 pounds. He looked so much better.
Oh, he did?
He said totally because I fat shamed him. But it's very un-PC. I mean, no one's really into that. I fat shame AWOD. I just fat shamed him during a break. I said, you look enormous. I mean, I've never seen you look so big. Exhaled.
If I were him, I would not have shaved off the Andrew Luck beard. I would have kept it.
I told him he looks like a penis.
Just
look at him.
Not a good compliment.
Yeah, like his face looks like a penis.
It's kind of
exact opposite. I
saw him today. I said, it looks like you got a good haircut. And you're calling him a penis.
It's just, I don't know.
Who's the bully?
No, I know. But here's the thing. He doesn't take it. You don't take it as hurtful when I just tell you you look disgusting, right?
I mean, of course it hurts. I just know
Does
how to
it hurt
handle
a little bit?
I know how to handle it.
Do you think it comes from a place of caring, or do you think I just say it to make myself feel better about me?
No, I truly think that you care about me a lot.
Thank you.
And I also
don't believe that.
Get crazy.
I also
don't
get
lot?
Crazy. We were talking about what makes EB laugh. AWOD makes EB laugh.
It's true. You are a white guy that
you
makes me laugh.
You care more about him, certainly, than the other.
Jim Gaffigan won't make him laugh, but AWOD will?
The other three of us combined, you care more about him.
Than you three?
Combined.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, 100%.
No, that's not true, but he makes me laugh.
You care more about AWOD than the other three combined. That is a fact.
No, it's not. You're crazy.
You think I care about AWOD?
No, he means not.
Oh,
then
you guys do.
You're
Oh, then you guys do.
What
sure.
did you think I was saying?
Well, like, I care about more about him than I care about you. Or yeah.
No.
Like
I said.
Then you guys do. Oh, sure.
And the other
you guys have no
on.
Regard for him.
Correct.
He's a human.
But I like when he prints stuff out for me. It's,
you do?
You like when he's your slave.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm my slave. I just ask him to do a couple tasks.
No, I like Adam, and I'm trying to. I guess I'm fat shaming him. I guess.
I don't think it's working because I had pizza last night.
It's definitely not working, but it does crack me up.
Definitely not working.
AWOD, how many cocktails did you have this past weekend, Thursday to Saturday night?
I did not go out Thursday. Friday,
100?
Many?
100?
8 to 10, maybe.
All right.
Saturday, a little lighter, 4 to 6.
Yeah.
All right, so 15.
And then
15.
I had a bunch during the Redskins game because that was so depressing.
Oh. Right. Okay.
Where'd you watch the game?
At my friend's house in my apartment complex, and I had probably like 6 or 8 Stella. The Stella Artois, it's my go-to.
Man, I'm shocked you could pronounce that correctly.
Artois.
Can you spell it?
A-R-T-O-I-S.
I mean, he's got it.
Oh,
it's
Stella.
I mean, the bottle's right next to my face as I drank it.
He's into his face 100 times over the weekend. He should know it.
All right, we've got the Rooster, Chris Russell, joining us next, Redskins Insider here on The Junkie.
Rooster.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.